Hey, this is Corey letting you know that the Dominican Rope Skipping Organization, Inc. asked us to promote their International Jump Rope Festival in the Dominican Republic from October 7th to October 14th. The event is free, there is no cover pay, and it's not a competition. It is a combination of exhibitions, clinics, and workshops. Every jumper who wants to participate is welcome to join. If you are interested and are planning on coming, contact the DRSO as soon as possible. Their phone number is 809-874-9604. Thank you. Hey, this is Corey.
And I, Leah.
And this is Jump Rope Jam. Today with us, we've got a dancer.
A dancer and supporter of the arts, Erica Nicole.
Don.
Hello.
Excellent.
Hi.
Hi.
So I don't know if we're going to get Brandon on. Erica, Brandon is in Trinidad right now, so he's helping a team.
Oh my gosh.
So, Erica, do you want to just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, I'm 20 years old. I've been a dancer since I was 2 years old. After I graduated high school, I started dancing out in New York City. I danced in a bunch of different places. Mostly at Broadway Dance Center, and I go to Steps on Broadway. I've been to Avenelli. I took a class in New York City Ballet. Like, I've been expanding my horizons all around. I also teach dance to 2-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 8-year-olds, all the way up to, like, 18-year-olds. It's the best job in the whole entire world, and I'm loving every minute of it. I currently am auditioning for cruise lines and Broadway shows, so just, you know, standing all out there, dancing around.
Nice. And Ilya, why don't you tell Erica a little bit about yourself, your background?
Sure. So same thing. I did the early childhood development sport type thing. I actually started out in gymnastics, but it was expensive. So my parents pulled me out and put me in competitive jump rope because it was more economical for our family. So I started with the rope skipping when I was 6 years old, so just a little bit older than you, and I competed up until I was about 15 when I hit the international circuit, and at that point my mother received a call from the original choreographer from Cirque du Soleil, so I left the sport and I just did stayed in the performance stream for a number of years there until I went off to university. And then I rejoined the circus as in more of a professional capacity and got married, settled down, and somehow found my way back into the sport for my second wave at competition. So I've sort of been straddling the world of performance art and then the world of competitive sport, and just trying to really come to terms with my identity being pulled both ways. So I am making a concerted effort to try and marry my sport with cleaner lines, better technique that I've learned and gleaned from my experiences with dancers and their techniques, and just trying to get our sport to a better place. So I'm really excited to talk to you today, and I hope I have some good questions lined up.
And that's why I reached out. Yeah, and that's why I reached out to you, Erica, because I'm not sure if you know or if I told you, but I am not even really a jump rope beginner. I got into the sport this past summer after I created a iPhone game that that the community saw, because it was the only jump rope game that was on the phone. So after they reached out to me and I saw the sport and I fell in love with the sport, I was talking with our other co-host, Brandon Harrison, and we started working together. And so that's what Jump Rope Jam is all about, is just trying to push the sport forward, since not a lot of people know about it, and we want to make it a little bit more mainstream.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So, Ilya, do you have any questions that you want to ask?
Sure. I guess I'm going to start with what exposure have you had to our sport? Can you give us any sort of commentary? I'm wondering if you've seen enough of it to draw any conclusions about technique quite generally, or it would be equally useful just to kind of get your impression as an outsider.
Well, I mean, I think, hold on, I can't remember it correctly, but there was, when I was like 12, there was a jump rope movie that came out with Corbin Bleu in it. And I just remember watching the movie and watching their feet and like my eyes like widen up to it, like how fast they can move their feet. It's like there's a very big connection between dance and jump roping. And I've never really, I mean, I know how to jump rope, but I've never really taken it as far as you have. But I mean, it is very, very interesting to watch. And ever since he actually reached out to me, I did start watching it. And it's amazing the way that they can sit there and jump like that. And it definitely does take a lot of technique.
Yeah, so that
I
Disney
don't.
movie that was called Jump In,
Yeah.
and our co-host Brandon
Yeah.
Harrison was actually in it.
Oh,
So
wow,
that's,
really?
yeah, he was in it as a child up in Canada where I live. So that's really interesting that you brought that up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was like the first thing that I watched about jump rope, and I was like, I never realized how much of an intense sport this
Yeah, it can be intense, and we do have some technique that's very specific to our sport. Obviously, there's jumping
Yeah.
techniques that no other sport really employs. But I do want to pick your brain a bit about lines. Have you noticed anything about the lines that the jumpers have?
I'm not really so much. I mean, I didn't watch a lot about it, so you're gonna have to like, push me through this some way.
Right, no
But
problem.
you could tell me about all your lines.
Well, so for the jump rope community who may not understand or may not get what I'm trying to speak in reference to, in dance, the lines in your body is how straight your arms are, when your toe is pointed, when your chin is elongated. Good lines is the correct form in dance. So of course, I'm speaking about in skipping. We sometimes don't land our front handsprings completely all the way stood up with our chins up. We don't complete a back handspring with our arms up. When we do a spin, we don't take any special notice to the position that our arms are in. And so I'm just wondering if coming from a background where you probably don't even think about those things, it's just automatic as a product of your training. If it really stands
Not
out to
even
you that this could hurt us in a performance capacity for our lack of conscious lines.
I definitely do think that. I mean, my little ones who I teach now, they're very into the jumping or leap. They're very, very into it. And when they land, they're landing with straight legs. Or they're not landing all the way through in their plié. I don't know if you know what a plié means. It's the bending of your knees. That is very, very important. If I've watched someone in my dance class not plié as they landed a leap and her whole entire kneecap shifted to the side,
Oh.
it is very, very dangerous to do that. So, I mean, I've. What I'm picturing right now, when you're saying stuff like that, I'm picturing someone who, I mean, you bend your knees a lot when you jump rope, correct?
Right, of course.
Yeah, so your knees are always bent. That's always a good thing to do, too. I mean, in ballet, our knees are always straight and we're always dancing with straight legs, but knees bent is very important, too.
When you're
And,
jumping, yeah.
yeah, definitely. And also, is your back, it's like on a slant or is it straight up? I can't remember correctly.
Well, it depends. There's a certain level of displacement in the sport, obviously, right? Like, so, which I mean is similar to dance in some respects, in that we are spinning and upside down sometimes, but sort of different from dance. Where we differ, I would say, is in our displacement tricks. So Brandon and I were having a conversation before about tricks called Cougar and Pretzel, and those are the ones where you're kind of through your legs. You're crossing around and through your legs. So you're kind of bent and hunched in a position that doesn't lend itself very well to I mean, great lines to begin with. And as you said, our legs are always bent. There's very few opportunities to have straight legs in our sport because that jumping requires bent knees for sure.
Yeah, that's very, very, very important. I mean, I tell my kids that all the time. You could ruin your knees for life, and you don't ever want that to happen. Now, I do have another question for you. When you are jumping, do you jump on your toes or on your whole entire foot?
Okay, so that depends. For me, it's too bad that Brandon isn't here to weigh in because he's definitely the superior speed jumper. When I jump speed, I'm on my toes. When I jump triple unders, I'm also on my toes. But for certain freestyle maneuvers and skills, I might use different parts of my feet for sure.
I see. So it like all depends on what type of movement you're doing, that you're on your heels or your whole entire foot or you're on your toes.
Yeah, that's right. I will say we rarely ever use releve in rope skipping. Rarely anything is done on releve just because of the jumping there. And also, our toes are almost always parallel, right? We never have a good turnout because, it's hard to jump like that. And why would – we don't really need it in our sport. There's no skills that require it. So turnout isn't something that we deal with much either.
Yeah, I can understand why. Definitely, but
and I have to say,
it's so weird, the two different worlds.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I mean, doing some bar classes and some ballet stuff has been really trying, but I think has really helped me to diversify in my sport. But I have to say, trying to do a pump turn in a running shoe with like the treaded sole is really tough, right? Because the rubber sticks and you're stuttering. So it's really hard to kind of bring some of those skills over into our sport. I did put a pirouette in my routine, so I'm pretty proud of that. But it's sketchy.
Now, I do have the biggest question for you, too. Our arm placement in dance is a huge thing, too. Your arm placement can determine your speed of your turns and everything, and you're holding jump ropes in your hand.
So that was actually the the biggest source of dismay that I had trying to bring some dance into my routine. Our arm positions, we do have arm positions. They are not compatible with the arm positions associated with the dance of the maneuvers that and skills I was trying to complete. So I'm trying to do a pirouette, but there's just no way I can put my arms in the proper position to complete the pirouette. So you're using the push from your feet and your hips, and keeping the balance without having your arms in the proper position is difficult as well. It can be done.
Yeah.
But it's
what about urging. What about your spotting? Are you able to spot while you do it, or is that difficult too?
Yes.
Okay, so spotting, you're able to look at one thing and turn around and turn, and that doesn't jeopardize your jump roping?
Yeah, I am able to, and I think you would find that most elite jumpers are. We are jumping by feel as much as most dancers do, I should say.
See, now spotting is also as important as your arms and your feet positions. Spotting is the only way you could do, like, 4 or 5 turns, and the same like, thing with your hands, too. So I can imagine how much more difficult it has to be for you.
Well, I mean, it's all what you are used to and what you train yourself to do.
Yeah.
Definitely a jumper we were talking about yesterday, Kaylee Cuvion. I'm going to encourage you to look up her videos. She does some integrative sort of dance and jump rope, and she has just gorgeous lines. So she's really standing in that gap and is kind of a hero of mine for that. But, I mean, kudos to her. It is a difficult, difficult thing to do as I'm trying to learn myself.
I'm pretty sure if you were to put a jump rope in my hand, like, I know how to do basic jump roping, and if you were to put one in my hand and tell me to dance at the same time, I'd be like, wait, but everything I learned, what am I supposed to do?
You know, and it's the same for me when I'm on the stage and we're learning new choreography. The choreographer is always like, 5, 6, 7, Aaliyah, stop jumping. 2, 3, Aaliyah, stop jumping. Or we're doing footwork, and my hands are just turning a ghost rope because I think it should be one, I guess. I don't.
That's what, yeah. And that's the thing with our hands too, like the whole ballerinas, your thumb needs to be put away and your hands have to be like soft, like you're holding
Right.
onto like a soft teddy bear, not like you're holding a jump rope. They can't be stiff like that.
Even so, though, I think that that's really underused in our sport. We do have the option of using the expression of the angle of our wrists, elbows, and we can even use our fingers because we only really need two or three fingers to hold the rope at any given time. So, for instance, you would be able to point or wave with a handle in your hand. You just don't see it much. And we do have rope releases, so infrequently we will have only one handle to deal with at a time. So it's just
Hey,
it's
I'm learning
not
every
used
single
very
day.
much. It's not as expressive as it could be, and I think part of the reason is that competition is not a great forum for that, of course, right?
I understand. If I was watching jump rope and that was happening, I probably wouldn't be looking at your hands as you jump rope either. So I'm not really noticing the little things that you're working on, which is like the same with ballet. I mean, I'm tucking under in my body, but I'm pretty sure you're not seeing how I'm tucking under because you're not, you don't know the rules, well, the full rules I've been learning for 18 years.
Yes, exactly. Although I don't need to know them to recognize a good job. You know, it's kind of like cleaning the toilet, I think. When it's done well, you don't notice anything. It's only when it's not done well that you notice something's out of place, right? So technique,
Most
of
definitely.
course, is important, and I'd love to see my sport get to that point. Our sport needs your input, Erica, so I'm really glad that we're getting this opportunity. Take all the
I'm
time that you
really
need to
happy to
answer
be
my
doing this.
questions, though. I don't want to like smother you either.
Well, you know
No,
what? Well,
you're not at all.
let's take a break about talking about the sport, and if you don't mind, what can you talk about yourself? And I know that you said that you started when you were two, you said, in dance.
I was 2 years old.
So I take it your parents are the ones that pushed you into your sport?
Yes, my parents said I had way too much energy as a 2-year-old and I needed to do something with it.
Is that
So
common,
they
would you
threw me
say?
into dance class. Oh, so common. My 2-year-olds that I have now, their parents are like, I don't know what to do with them. They won't go to bed till 12 o'clock at night. But after an hour with them, they're like, they're asleep by the time they get in the car.
So you regularly intake students at the age of two or thereabouts?
Well, they're two and
Wow.
a half. I started at a very, very young age. But my older sister, who is a year older than me, she was born with autism. And me and her were always like two peas in a pod. She didn't communicate as well. So when my mother signed her up for dance, she was like, I know my daughter's really young, but can she come in? So always did everything together. And I was always a year ahead of everyone because she was the oldest one.
Right.
So,
Oh.
yeah.
That's a lovely story, though. So
I
since
know.
you trained since the age of two, at what age would you start competing in dance?
I was 5 years old, 5 and a half years old when I was competing.
Wow. And
I
how
was very
far
young
does
too.
a 5-year-old's competition career go? Like, would you compete internationally at the age of five against other 5-year-olds?
Yeah, especially now. My little ones are in competition, and the littlest I have is last year she was 4. She competed in regional, which is just on Long Island, but she was able to go into nationals if we wanted to go with a certain dance competition. They have one nationals in the summer, and I think last year's was like in Florida. There's one in South Carolina. There's one in New Jersey. They're all over, and you go for the whole entire week, and all your dancers are performed. There's probably 100 studios that come down, and you all perform against each other for the big titles.
What does that format look like exactly? Are we talking about an auditorium type setting? They're on a stage.
It's a convention center.
Okay.
There's usually more than one dance going on. They usually use two rooms. And it's like the giant gymnasiums, and we use that.
Okay,
and they get their own stage, and they put it up.
And they've got makeup and costume and music and lights.
Yeah, our studios do all that, yeah. And so the music and lights is the whole competition.
And what do they win? What are the prizes?
There's scholarships, there's trophies, there's some of them, like, they actually do, like, dance classes, and, like, you're able to go and dance with them. I went to a nationals 3 years ago in Wildwood, New Jersey, and one of Beyonce's choreographers was a judge, and we got a chance to take a class with him. It was a lot of fun.
Wow.
So, you know, like, they're a lot of fun. They usually always have something nice set up for you.
And do you have different events? Like, will you compete a jazz routine and then a modern routine? Will you do?
Yeah, we usually, what I competed in was jazz, lyrical, tap. Jazz, lyrical, tap. I'm forgetting one. I think that was the main three that I did. It was 3 years ago, so it's been a while. And what it was then after those three, you did it with, like, your group who you were in with, and then you did smaller group dances or large group dance. I've done a hip-hop dance. I mean, there's all different levels to this. In competition, when you go, there's solos, there's duos, trios, small groups, large groups. And then the production, which is like 15 people. Superline is like 30 people in the dance. So they have so many different categories that you could put a dance into and try and win something out of it.
Is it expensive to compete?
It is more than recreational dance classes in a dance recital. Yeah, your costume, if you want, you know, the judges look for big, flashy costumes, so you'll spend hours rhinestoning your costume. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, you know, you got to go and spend the extra couple $100, you know, get the bigger costume so that, you know, the judges, they really do point and look for it. If there's a little tiny hole in your your stocking, they will, like, look at it as you're not taking it as seriously as the next girl who comes on stage and has, like, the good stockings with no holes in it, she'll probably end up scoring higher than you.
Wow.
Yeah, they take it very serious, especially your technique. My girls just went into competition actually 3 weeks ago, and their technique, I can say they could have done a little bit better. They need to pay attention a lot more. It was their first year in competition. They were very little, so I was expecting it. But someone a little bit older than them placed higher than them because of their technique. So
so they're adjudicated.
Tiny things.
Like they know what it was. Like, where they can look at their score and see where they need to improve. Is it like?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
So you know.
The judges will talk into, like, a microphone and tell you, like, oh, you weren't turning out here. You weren't pointing your toe here.
Oh, wow.
You weren't doing this there. Yeah, so only the teacher gets this, and I get to go back to them next week and fix those things and go to the next competition and hope that we do better than the last one.
How do the kids react to you know, hearing about that?
My kids are very straight to the point. Actually, 2 weeks ago, they came into class, and this was after competition. They came into class, and I showed them their video, because, you know, you get videos of how their dance on stage. Right. And I looked at them, and I was like, tell me three things we did wrong. They raised their hand. They said, point their feet. They forgot to point their feet. They didn't turn out. And they, like, I think one of them accidentally went the wrong way or something like that, and she was like, and I went the wrong way. And I was like, yeah, so what are we going to do next time? And they're like, oh, we're going to fix it. And you watch them. They'll dance. And they'll start doing it, and they'll be like, oh, Miss Erica, can we restart the dance? I forgot to turn out my foot.
That's awesome.
So they do learn.
I wish we had that.
They do learn a lot. They learn so much. My kids they came in, and, you know, they weren't so into it. And since September, from now on, they are very, about their technique and about how they point their foot and if they're making the sassiest face and if they have the right shoes on and all this stuff. Like, they're very into their little tiny details now because you got to make them think like that.
That's awesome. I wish we had that sort of feedback from the judges in our sport. Definitely the competitions that we do up here in Canada, it's like I really have no idea what the judges are thinking. Like, routines that I think definitely are going to win don't. World jump rope is a bit better, but I know the judges personally. So I get the feedback from them because I know them, right? Whereas I wonder... Well, but Brandon, I think that's great for your sport, though, Brandon, that your kids here.
Yeah.
Brandon had talked about something that happened to him when he was performing, not for speed, but being rated on his tricks. And he said that the hardest part about that is that if you have a judge that, you know, likes a different type or different part of jumping, that they don't fully know how you have actually performed or what you put into the trick, and he didn't feel like he was judged properly on that trick that he performed, and so he didn't score as well as he felt like he should have. Whereas
that
when,
happens.
Whereas when he's doing speed, like, there's really no room for misjudging that per se. Just
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, also, my girls who just went on stage, this is my first time getting, like, the feedback, because when you're the dancer in the competition, the teachers don't give you the feedback because, you know, sometimes they could be mean. They could have, like, they could be a little bit harsh, so you don't show it to the kids. You just tell them what to fix. And great. I had one judge who said she loved the dance. It was perfect. It was great. And another judge who was like, I want to see them in a different color costume. Aye. I want to see them dancing in a different type of style. Like, it just wasn't her thing.
Call to make.
Yeah. And yeah, it was very, you could tell that she really liked the technical ballet stuff and the fact that they were doing jazz and, you know, they were doing the opposite of ballet. You could tell she wasn't so into it. So you can be misjudged. Well, and definitely.
What's your favorite form of dance?
I have a couple. I'm like a prima ballerina. I've been doing ballet since I was 2, so it's been my whole entire life. I love doing it, but I wouldn't like being stuck in it, like, for the rest of my career. Mm-hmm. I like lyrical and jazz more.
What about jazz do you enjoy more?
That I get to perform the song to it, but the same as lyrical, like, as lyrical tells a story, and jazz tells a story, too, in, like, a sassier type of way. So I just like it more that, you know, like ballet, it's all about technique. You got to place your foot here, place your foot there. But in jazz and lyrical, you can kind of be yourself. You dance the way that you want to dance and how you feel to that song.
Yeah, I like that about routines that aren't competition routines. When I get to pick a song that means something to me and say something that's important to me, for sure. And we don't get that opportunity very much, I think, in my sport, and it is really special to me.
And I meant to ask before, too, how do they, when they judge you, do they just give you back, like, their scoring sheet, or do you get anything, any type of feedback from it?
Well, I know that it's different at different levels and in different countries. But here there's a panel of judges and they actually judge different things. Yeah, yeah. So all judges are looking for misses.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to be a stickler for sound. Erica, are you at a mall or outside?
Oh, you know what it is? Hold on one second. I'm about to leave this place. I was just grabbing my train ticket before my train came.
Oh, okay. No problem. Are you heading into the city?
Yeah, I actually have a dance class tonight.
Oh, okay. That's
perfect.
That's the time limit that you have, right?
Yeah, no, you're fine. I'm right now, my train's not coming till 5, so I still have some time, but I just wanted to make sure I had everything. But I'm in a quieter place now.
Sorry about that.
Sure, yeah, no, I'm sorry.
No.
I'll start over. So judging. The judges that we have here, they sit on a panel. and they actually judge different components of the freestyle routine. So all of the judges are responsible for looking for mistakes. So when the rope is stopped unintentionally. Up here, we have creativity judges who judge just solely creativity. We have judges who judge difficulty. So basically how difficult the trick is or the skill is to complete. And we have technique as well. So
I see.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way that they do it, kind of to judge the difficulty. The more integrative the trick is or the skill is, the more difficult it is. So if you are combining footwork with arm work with a multiple and you displace your body, you will get the most points, right? By combining all the different levels of tricks. So they kind of... So they write down the... every time you complete a skill that's in level 4, they write down a 4. Every time you complete a skill that's a level 2, they write down a 2. And at the end, they look at all of the numbers that they've written down on their paper. And that's kind of how you get your difficulty score. And creativity in Canada is for rope releases, using musical cues, interaction, those types of things, right? And innovation. And then technique, they just kind of decide at the end how they felt about it. There's really no fun.
Wow, that's so much different than the way that they do it in dance.
I know. So tell us a little bit about the judging system in dance.
So it's divided into 5 categories, I want to say. First is your technique category, but all the judges, which is usually 4 or 3 judges, they all judge you on your technique, so you get a different feedback from a different person. You get a facial technique, how you use your face while you were dancing, with, like, you know, if there was a song about, like, attitude, if you had, like, the perfect attitude that went with it. You have your energy level, you have your costume and your costume and, like, your makeup, how you were presenting yourself. There's a point for that. And I think each one has, like, I think the technique one's, like, up to 30 points you could get. The facial and costume is 5 points you could get at the highest. So each one has, like, a different level.
Okay.
But all together with all the judges, it equals up to, like, 500 points, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a lot different than the way that you guys do it.
Yeah, that sure is.
Yeah.
So it seems like we're edging close to 5 o'clock and we've recorded for a while, and I know how the LIRR works, so I want to give you some time to just, you know, talk a little bit about yourself in the sense of talking about where, if people are interested in, you know, finding out a little bit more about you and or where, you know, where you work, you know, you can give your social media or anything else that you want to give a shout out to.
Okay, well, you can find me on Instagram. I think it's Erica_Nicole_0924. That's my Instagram. My Facebook is Erica Nicole, and I work at Prodigy School of the Arts. It's located in Uniondale and East Meadow.
Nice. Well, thank you for coming on, Erica.
Oh, well, thank you guys for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm sorry that it was so short.
I was so glad I got to learn so much.
Well, it actually...
I know, I'm sorry about that.
I know, it's fine. And truthfully, this isn't really that short. It went actually a lot faster. I'm just sorry that we weren't able to get Brandon on. I think that would add to it. So if you're interested, we would love to have you back on maybe at a later time when we definitely know that Brandon is free and... we would talk about the movie that you watched, and he can tell you about his experience. And then,
that would be so cool.
Okay,
and
great.
I would love to pry you about your job opportunities and how you train technique in these young kids, and what transferable skills you got from dance, and what the career expectancy is, like when did dancers retire and things like that. But I don't want you to miss your dance class. It's so important that you're investing in these young kids for sure.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I would definitely love to do another one. That was great.
All right, well, you have my contact information now, and just reach out and let me know if you have any time that, you know, that you're free. So.
Okay, I definitely will.
Okay, great.
Thanks, bye. Erica.
Thank you, Erica.
Thank you.
Keep your chin up and jump high.
And remember, jump rope is a sport. See you later.
Bye.
Okay, good.